going to begin now. So what I want to do with you is I want to compare our reaction to the Ammonim and the Moavim versus Edom and the Mitzriim. So in Devarim, Perek, and everyone can see, right? It can see the screen, right? So sorry, except for you, Arthur. But okay. The Devarim, Perek Chav Gimel, so it says Pasuk Dalid, Lo Yavo Ammoni Umoavi Bikal Hashem. Someone from Ammon and Moav cannot enter into the congregation of Hashem. They cannot marry someone. Gamdor Asiri Lo Yavo Lahem Bikal Hashem. So even someone from the 10th generation cannot marry. Ad Olam. In other words, from Ammon and Moav, you cannot marry into the Jewish nation, even if you convert, obviously. We're not talking about intermarriage here. We're talking about someone from Ammon and Moav who converts. They're allowed to convert. They just can't marry a Jew. Why is that? So Pasuk Hey and Vav says, Al Devar Shelo Kidvu Eschem Balecha V'mayim Aderech B'Zeischem B'Mitzrayim, because they didn't provide you with food and water when you left Egypt. Vashir Sachar Alecha as Bilam ben Baor, Mipsor Aram Naram Lekaleka. And also that they hired Bilam to curse you. And then, of course, Pasuk Vav says, Velo Ava Hashem Alkecha Lishma Bilam, but Hashem did not want to listen to Bilam. V'yafoch Hashem Alkecha Lecha Saklola Libracha, Ki Ahevcha Hashem Alkecha. Hashem turned the curse into a blessing. Because Hashem loves you. And then Pasuk Zayin, Lo Sidro Shlomam V'Tovasim Kol Yomecha L'Olam. Don't seek their peace and their goodness for as long as you live. So that is Ammon and Moav. Don't marry into them because they weren't nice for two things. There are two reasons. They didn't give you food and water in the wilderness. And number two is they hired Bilam. Then contrast that to Lo Tesayv Adomi Ki Achicha Hu. Lo Tesayv Mitzu Ki Ger Yisa Barzo. Don't despise or abhor, he translates here in the Sefaria. So don't abhor someone from Edom because he's your brother. Lo tesai mitzugir yisabarzo, and don't abhor an Egyptian because you are a stranger in his land. You should know also that Edom is your brother. Ammon and Moav are your, what would they be? Your great nephew or cousins once removed or whatever. So they're more distantly related. But then regarding Edom and Mitzri, Banim Asher Yivaldu Lohem Dor Shlishi Yavol Lohem Bikal Hashem. So the children, that after third generation, then they can marry in. So the I have like seven questions. Okay, so I'll have seven questions. I'm sure some of you have thought about some of these questions, and we'll try to develop a few approaches. So the first question, the most obvious question is, what's the difference between Ammon and Moab versus Edom and Mitzri? On the surface, you know, we're told countless times, remember you were a slave in Egypt, remember you were a slave in Egypt, remember you were a slave in Egypt. They seem to be like the worst of the worst. If I were to ask you who's like the worst of the worst, so you would say Mitzri. And also, pretty much Edom gets a pretty bad rap in general also. We think, you know, Edom is Rome nowadays. Edom, Esav, that, you know, evil brother who wanted to kill Yaakov. So they seem to be much worse than Ammon and Moav on the surface. Yet, Ammon and Moav, you can never marry them. Question is also, what did Ammon do wrong? Okay, it's never clear exactly in the Torah what they did wrong. Did it say ever that they didn't give you food and water? We know that Moav hired Bilam. But we don't have anything clear in the Torah, it seems, about what Ammon did. I wonder that we know that when Bnei Yisrael came to the eastern part of the Jordan River, so they went by Edom, they went by Ammon and Moav. So apparently Ammon and Moab seem to be criticized. They didn't come forth with food and water. Did Edom? Did anyone? And then I wonder also, why repeat the history of what happened by Bilam? What does it mean, don't seek out their goodness? What's the lashon of lo titaiv, like an abomination, toeva? And question, of course, is why should something that someone did years ago affect the marriage of future generations? That was something that someone did years ago, a deficient on children of future generations. So those are seven different things that I sort of want to address in the next 20 minutes. But first, unmute yourself. Let me know what you think about some of these questions. I'm sure some of you have thoughts. What does it mean to Edom? Aren't Edom and Moab, aren't Edom and the Mitzrayim much worse? Why are we so critical of Ammon and Moab?
Well, Ammon and Moab were from the daughters of Lot.
Right.
So they grew out of an abomination of illicit relationships.
Right.
So it's kind of like mamzerus almost to come into to join Klal Yisrael.
You mean like David HaMelech? Right.
Moaviyah. That's
Moaviyah. I understand, but if you're Judah, if you're making the argument that coming from mamzerus, so then you make the same argument by David HaMelech. It's not what the Torah says. In other words, why is not coming forth with food and water, not proactively being kind to someone, why is that much worse than enslaving someone, killing firstborns, killing, you know, the boys? Herbie.
According to the beginning of the farm, it would seem that Moab and Edom did sell food to them. It's not that they didn't come forward at all. They didn't do it for free. You asked about Ammon. Ammon, it's not clear. It seems that Ammon didn't even offer food or anything.
Right.
I think on a different level, Moab and Ammon never did anything good. They should have known better. So in other words, that they Mitzrayim has been saving graces that they, you know, in the beginning they took care of them. They recognized, they put Yosef at the head and everything else, and because Garen there, so they have some positive things. And Esav, I guess, has going for him. It's a closer connection because it's the close of Abraham and Yitzchak. It's a direct relationship, so we have to have more respect or recognition based on than we would have loved.
Okay, so what you're saying, let me summarize what Herbie was saying, and then Evan, you can have next. So what Herbie was saying was that Ammon and Moab should have known better for some reason, okay? They should have known better. We're gonna discuss, if we have time, Devarim Perek Beis, to see that might be the evidence of Ammon not giving food and Edom and Moab giving food, although it's not 100% clear. You made the point that what's interesting is that we're saying that Egypt, which they were good for a bit and they were awful for a lot longer perhaps than they were good, there's still some saving grace, which is an interesting mussar. Maybe Egypt should not have known better as opposed to Ammon and Moab, and Esav was more directly related. Okay. Evan, yeah?
Ammon and Moab came from Lot, as Judah said.
Right.
And they should have known better because Lot grew up in Abram's house. Lot was the one that took the angels into stone and gave them food and water. So they should have known better.
Right.
And you did learn from Lot. And again, Ammon and Moab had no territorial integrity with the Jewish people, as opposed to the Mitzrim, who were worried that Hovan Neshak Malo, and they did it out of self-defense, and Esav Son El Yaakov, always.
So we're stuck with that, you know, it's not, they don't know any better, Esav, they can't control themselves, you're saying, Esav can't control themselves. So you're saying, wait, one second, so we're just to frame what Evan said, to make sure I understand that, he's saying Ammon and Moab should have known better because they came from Lot's house, and that was the house of Chesed, as opposed to Mitzrayim, forget about it. They didn't even come from any house of Chesed. They should not have known better, okay? And also, you said, I'm sorry, what else did you say about Mitzrayim, Evan?
The Jews were in Mitzrayim, and
All right, there was a reason, right? There was a reason why Mitzrayim wanted to harm them. And right, as opposed to, although right, what's interesting is that one of the reasons why Moab is criticized is because they hired Bilam, and yet there was also a reason they were nervous there as well. But I hear you. Okay, and someone else was going to say something else. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean along the lines of what Evan said.
Yeah.
just a little on a diuk on that, is that Esav and Mitzrayim both had a reason to hate the Jews because of what happened to them. Right. As Evan said, right. They were afraid they were going to take over. Esav's or stolen from what did Amon and Moab have that?
Okay,
that
right.
They had a worry.
Okay, right. I hear you. Good. Okay. Baruch?
Yeah. Avram helps out Lot. I mean, he saves Lot. You know?
Right. So now that you're saying, right. So we're going to see some of the Farshim say that point, that Avram helped Lot, and therefore they should have, they were ungrateful. They were ungrateful. Okay. So good. So we're going to see some of Farshim. I haven't gone through all of the Mefarshim, but I'm going to generally develop what the Mefarshim say in some places, and then I'm going to share with you, a different thought that's not found in the Mefarshim. So, if you look in the Midrash Agada provides Baruch's point. If you look in the Midrash Agada, right, everyone can see it, right there. Hopefully, it's large enough. So, the Midrash Agada says, "And hey, al debar shelo kidmu lo zachru hatova sha'asa Avram lelot." They didn't remember the goodness that Avram did to Lot. Shel Moli Avram lo nimlat lot mistom. That if not for Avram, he wouldn't have Lot would not have escaped from Sodom, and therefore, so they were essentially ungrateful. By the way, it's not simply the Midrash Agada points out that it's not simply a limud or a gzeiras akasuv that only a Moavite, a male, is forbidden and not a female, because he writes here, "Mibnei Shein Darkum Lakadim Nashim Lefnei Anashim Shnemar Kol Kvoda Bas Melch Penima," that the women were not expected to come forward to give the Bnei Israel food in the desert, so they cannot be punished for that. Only the men, it was their responsibility because they were ungrateful. They were supposed to be express gratitude to Avram Avinu, always be forever grateful to him. If not for Avram, these nations would not be alive. So, but this is only something that the men were supposed to do, not the women. And that's the rationale as to why the women can marry, because there was no expectation for the women to come out with food, because women should have been indoors, and it wasn't appropriate for them to go out to begin with. So, and what's interesting is the Medrash is very harsh. When it says Lo Sidro Shlomam, don't seek out their peace. Sheim Ba'u Leilachem Al Iram, that if they come to fight for their cities, Lo Yikaru Lahem Tchila LiShalom, don't call out for peace for them first. In other words, don't seek out peace. Just wage war. V'Tavosam Sheichdu Kol Etz Machal Shlahem, cut off all their fruit trees. Right? There's a general prohibition. You're not supposed to cut off fruit trees. Yeah, with them you can, because they're really bad people. So the Midrash Agada points out that they were specifically ungrateful, and that is a horrific. That's like a character flaw. Rashi points out what I think Herbie made the point, or maybe Evan made the point. I'm sorry, there are a lot of good points here. Lo sisai v'adomi legamri. So what's the lashon of toeva? He's saying you should, in theory, abhor an Edomite, because when the Bnei Yisrael were passing by, and they wanted to pass through Edom's land, Edom came with a sword, say, over my dead body, and Hashem said, leave them. So he's saying, no, don't abhor them. Lo tisaev mitzri. Rashi does not give a reason, but he says, lo tisaev mitzri mikol v'kol afal pi shezarku zechurechem lior. So don't abhor the Egyptian, even though they threw your males into the Nile. Matam, what's the reason? Shehayu lachem achsanya bishasatcha, because they took care of you under pressing circumstances. So other nations permitted right away. Mitzri and Adomim, they are permitted after three generations. And halamata shamachti l'adam kasha lo minar hargo. We see that someone who causes someone else to sin is worse than someone who kills him. Shahargo hargo b'lamazev. Someone kills him, he kills him in this world. And someone who caused him to sin, caused him to leave this world, the next world. So it was interesting. He's saying that the Moab, we're not clear why, if Rashi is saying about Ammon. It seems, even though I'm not sure what Rashi's evidence is, but what's clear is that Moab tried to get Bnei Israel to sin, right, through the Midianite women, right? That was Bilaam's idea. Rashi seems to indicate that, I guess when the Torah is saying that, you know, don't, that they hired them, so they were in cahoots, even though it's not clear from the text. It's not clear from the text when that actually happened. In other words, what the Torah here says, let's go back to Chav Gimel, Dal and Hey. So here it says, Ammonim and Moabim can't enter into the nation of Yisrael, of God, but even the 10th generation, why? They didn't give you food, and they hired Bilaam and Sachar. I don't know if it's individual or they hired. So again, does that mean that Ammon, there were two flaws here, two failures here. Is Ammon accused of the first failure and Moab the second? Or maybe both of them for both of them. It's from the text, it only seems that Moab did the second. And we'll see about the first in a bit. But Rashi seems to indicate that both Ammon and Moab did try to cause them to sin. So because they tried to cause them to sin, you can never marry into them.
Rabbi, but the Torah doesn't even bring up the thing with Moab here with the women. I mean, you know, that did happen in Yerani, but it doesn't. Yeah. It's strange that it doesn't bring it up, because that would seem to be even worse than hiring Bilaam to begin with.
Yeah, so it could be. I guess what you would argue is that they hired Bilaam to curse, and an extension of that, he said, okay, I can't curse you, but this is what I can do. In other words, you'd have to understand, Rashi, I believe, would have to understand that basically they wanted to cause the Bnei Israel to fail. And so what ended up being is like that their initial sin, let's curse him. Well, the only way they can be cursed, as it were, is if they sin. It's a stretch, but that's the way I can see Rashi is understanding this. The broader goal of the cursing leading it to sin. So the point is that since that was the case, so God's sending a message of, you know, of that we can't marry to someone whose ancestors want to curse us. The Ramban sort of breaks it up, though. Rashi seems to say that Ammon and Moab both did both sins. The Ramban says, Al devar asher lo kidmu eschem belechav amayim motzinu. So in Beis Chav Ches Chav Tes, it says, Ochal, this is, I think, what Herbie was referring to. Ochal ba kesef tashbereni v'achalti yamayim b'kesef titen li v'shosisi, kasher asu li b'nei esav hayoshim b'shar b'seir v'amov hayoshim b'ar. So there's a v'anira elai ki ha-kasev hirchik shnei achim ha-elai shayu gemulei chesed me'avram. So these two brothers got chesed from out. We'll see the pasuk in a minute. But the Ramban says that these two brothers were recipients of chesed from Avram because he saved them. And v'hoyuchayim lasas tovim Yisrael, they should have done good to Klal Yisrael. V'heim asim emra, they did bad. Ha'echad sachala Bilaam ben Beor v'ha-moavim. And one hired Bilaam, and they are the Moabites. V'echad lo kidem osa b'lechem amayim. And the other one, Ammon, didn't give them bread and water. Kasher karvo l'mulo. Okay? So and he writes here that Ammon, we'll see this proof, we'll actually read the text here. B'nei Ammon Yerushia b'zei Yosef b'kulav, and Ammon's worse than them. Ki b'nei Esav v'moavim, k'sher yadu sh'ezur Yisrael sh'lizgar v'hem, hotzi lecha mayim chutz l'gvulav. So Esav and Moav actually gave them food, but Ammon did not. That's the way Ramban understands it. So let me try to go back here for a second. Let's see if I can find this here. So here Moshe is telling them. Moshe says, "Wait, we first went to Esav. That's in Pasuk Devarim Perek Beis Pasuk Ches. V'navar Meisachin, and we went. Well, okay, so then I'm sorry. We first went to Esav, and we said, Ochal Tishbu Meitam Aketzav Achaltem. But Hashem says, don't provoke them. You know, Hashem says to don't provoke Esav. You can get food from them, that's Pasuk Vav, but that's fine, but don't provoke them. So, right, then it says, we left Esav and they went to Moab. And Hashem said also, don't wage war against Moab. Okay? And then it says that, okay, go to Ammon, and don't wage war. Okay? And then, one second. And then, okay. So then they go to Sichon. And in Pasuk Chavav, they go to Sichon and they say, let me cross your land, Ebra Bartzacha. Ochel Bakesef Tishpereni Vechalti, my Bakesef Titainli. Sell me food and water, and let me drink, and let me just pass through. Kasher Asuli B'nei Esav Hayoshim B'Seir, Vahamoavim Hayoshim Ba'ar. Like Esav did, and like Moav did. Who are they missing? Ammon. So that's the Ramban's proof. The Ramban's proof is that we see from here that Bnei Yisrael first go to Edom, Moab, and Ammon. No one lets them pass. And then they go to Sichon and they say, let us pass and give me food and water. Like who? Like Esav and Moab. Says the Ramban, what do we see from here? That Ammon did not give them food. So that's the Ramban's argument. Okay? And by the way, we don't have time for this, but the Bravanel, and the Rabbeinu Bachai, I think, says what one of you said, that Edom has Chus Avos, right? That they have Chus Avos, so therefore, come from Yitzchak, come from Avram, so therefore, after three generations, you can marry them. I don't have time to go through the Bravanel, but he learns Perek Beis with Dvarim differently. But just as a summary, the first approach as to saying the difference between the Mitzrayim and Mitzrayim and Esav on the one hand and Ammon and Moab on the other hand is that it focuses on their ethical behavior, their ethical character. In other words, and you have to argue that this is something in their genes and they pass on from generation to generation, and therefore this is something that's a part of them, and therefore a subsequent generation, even if they convert to Judaism, they're still going to have this quality, and therefore you should marry them. And in other words, we don't want certain types of people married into our nation because of the bad influence.
I don't see that Ammon is mentioned any place.
Is what?
I can't find Ammon mentioned any place.
No, but that's my point, Evan. My point is in Perek Beis, where it says that the Bnei Yisrael first went to Ammon, and then they went to Edom, and then Moab, and then Ammon, and they asked each time for food or water, and then they go to Sichon, and they say, can you give us food and water like Edom and Moab gave, but it doesn't mention Ammon. That's what the Ramban says.
All this is in Chukas.
Not Chukas, Devarim Beis. Devarim Perek Beis.
I know, but the first is Chukas.
No, it's Devarim Beis. And again, you have to deal with the text. The text says that Ammon and Moab, you can't marry into them because they didn't bring food and water. So we have to try and understand where's the Torah getting? When did this happen? So Ramban says this happened in Devarim Perek Beis. But basically, this first approach focused on their ethical character. Ammon and Moab were ingrates. Then you can say Egypt did chesed initially, and also there was no special tova that was done to them, right? No one did anything good to them. And Edom, again, maybe Edom gave them food, right? Edom gave them food. Or you could argue that they were relatives, so they have Schus Avos. So that's the distinction between Ammon and Moab and Edom and the Mitzrayim, why you can marry Edom and Mitzrayim after three generations, but not Ammon and Moab. There is another approach, which I don't know where I saw this. This is not my idea. I would quote who I saw it from, but I don't have it down. But I think I heard it somewhere. But it's not my own. But it's a fascinating approach. And that is that, you know, sometimes the concern is an issue of insincerity. In other words, sometimes we're concerned about sincerity on an individual level, and sometimes we're concerned about insincerity on a national level. And for example, You know, you have here in Shoftim Perek Yud, Pasuk Vav, we mention how the Bnei Yisrael do bad in the eyes of God, and they serve the gods of Moab and Ammon. We have Shlomo HaMelech HaMelechim Aleph Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Zayin. He built a bama to Moab, and also Molech to the god of Ammon. So maybe there's a difference between Ammon and Moab and Edom and Mitzrayim in terms of the sincerity of these nations and also the likelihood of influence in Eretz Yisrael. So Ammon and Moab, perhaps it's not two separate sins, but rather it's a joint sin. No nation did anything bad against Bnei Yisrael when Bnei Yisrael left Egypt except for Amalek. The other nations did not confront us. What is the danger of Ammon and Moab? The danger is that they didn't confront us directly, but they tried to deal with us in a sneaky manner. You cannot trust them. And that might be pshat of the pasuk, lo sidrosh shlomam v'tovasam kol yimei chayacha. Even if they do convert, and even if they live amongst you for a number of generations, don't trust them. Why? Because you can get influenced by them. And what does it say? That Kadosh Baruch Hu loves you, they don't love you. They're not honest, and you could be influenced by them, as we see in Sefer Shoftim and Sefer Malachim. Edom and Mitzri, we don't like them either. But there's no toeva, because you know what you get. Sometimes, you know, again, I don't want to get political, but some have made the argument like, and I'm not saying I agree or disagree, but some have made the argument that, you know what, Hamas, you know what you can get. You know, they clearly, you know, in their charter, they want the destruction of Israel, right? But the Palestinian Authority, so they're a little more slippery. So on the one hand, you say, oh, we can deal with them. On the other hand, they're more dangerous because you don't know what you can get. You don't know what you're getting there. In other words, Ammon and Moab, they're sneaky. They hire people to try to curse you. They try to do things behind your back. And the Torah quotes a whole story about this, where Bnei Yisrael knew nothing about, right? Edom and Mitzri, you know what you get. They are honest, so they'll tell you to your face, I want to kill you, I want to enslave you. But if they convert, then and after a certain number of generations, they're genuine, so you know it's genuine. Edom is your brother. He will be honest with you. He is achicha. And by the way, we never find throughout the Nevi'im, Rishonim, some of you can correct if I'm wrong, that there is avodah zarah of Edom or Egypt. So it's not as problematic. So you could argue again that, again, it was an issue of ethical behavior. Or you could argue that it might be a different issue. It might be an
the
issue.
Daughter of Pharaoh.
What?
Pharaoh's daughter.
Right.
Shoma.
Right. 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 What's interesting though is I hear what you're saying, Evan. Do you find that they say that they worship the god of the Egyptians? I'm just saying that there's more. There is Bas Paro, but in terms of the influence, you find more of worshiping the gods of Moab and Ammon than you do of the gods of Edom or Mitzrayim. And also, there might be a difference in sincerity versus insincerity. So if someone converts, continues that for a few generations, you know it's sincere, as opposed to Ammon and Moab, where we don't necessarily believe they're insincere. So this might be a different approach as to why you can marry Edom and Moab for three generations and not... you can marry Edom and Mitzrayim after three generations, but not Ammon and Moab.